can have the PowerPoint, that'd be great. So yes, this is our verse for the verse. I really do. Because I'm getting excited just standing here now about this verse. There is truth in this verse. There is confidence in this verse. There is freedom in this verse. And each one of us, I believe, needs all of those things. Whether you are 5 or 20 or 100, I imagine when you walk into a room, the first thing you do, if it's dark, is you turn the light on. I would imagine. Otherwise, you're going to walk into some furniture, stub your toe maybe. I've done that before. And actually, for some people, even if it's daylight, people turn the lights on in our house. And I wonder if there are other people who may be doing that. So we're quite used to walking into rooms and going, switch. But then there are other people like Dad's who says, turn the lights off as you leave the room. Because the number of people who leave lights on, you know, it's just, especially when you've got teenagers, it tends to happen. It's they walk in a room and they forget, it doesn't happen. But we turn the light on because it helps us see better, doesn't it? If you were to walk into the room and it was pitch dark, you wouldn't know where you're going. I was driving over Christmas, and one of the evenings we were driving, and it's really nice when you've got your headlights working properly, and then you've got the street lamps as well, and the street lights. But on the motorways, sometimes you get stretches where they haven't got those sort of like overhead lights, and it's actually quite dark. And especially if it's like quite a curvy bit, and I'm thinking, good job I got my lights on, but it's still a bit unnerving because I wonder how far that road's straight before it turns. The lights above you shed light on the road and it helps you see what is ahead of you. It gives you reassurance. Like it or not, each one of us is on display. We're all on display, every one of us. In our lives, as we walk about, we're on display. People will look and expect us to maybe act a certain way, talk a certain way. And especially if you believe in Jesus and you live for him, then they're definitely going to be looking to see how you act and live. They are watching all the time. Just like if you went for a job interview. You go, and they'll be there, and people are watching. I wonder what they're like. And you'll be thinking, we all know, because you think, this is all part of the interview. They're watching me. We're going to do something together as a team. Right, what have I got to make sure I'm doing? Pretend to be a bit leading and a bit this, and I think we should be doing this. You know, those sort of things. We try to, because they're looking all the time in the job interview. And especially if you carry out those interviews, you know what I'm talking about, because you're doing it. When I came here for an interview, it happened to me. But I had not just a few people, I had everybody looking at me and saying, well, that's a bonus. Maybe not. You know, so it's, you know, it's that sort of thing where you people are looking at you all the time. And sometimes, as we all know, we look at visual and our perception and we think, that's what they're like. And actually, we need to maybe reconsider. And that's not just in the world, is it? That's us, ourselves. God expects us to be his flashlights, his lighthouses, his light bulbs in our day-to-day living. He calls us to shine like stars in the universe. Among those people, you shine like light in a dark world. This is what this verse is, this verse 12 to 16. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Interesting. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless, pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. If you know Jesus for yourself, you are a light. And you know what? The world needs light. The world needs light. We live in a world that does not care about Jesus. It is a world that makes fun of Christians. But it needs us. It needs you and me. It may not be a very comfortable position to be in, but we play an important role in this world. The opportunity to shine brighter is greater today than ever. We are to be examples to the world of what it is to live a different life. Do you know that? We're to live a different life. And the source of the light that I'm talking about is the sun, Jesus Christ. Nearly all the light that fills the world is reflected. Do you know that? The majority of light in this world is reflected by millions of objects around us and does not stream directly from the sun. And you know what? Jesus is the supreme source, the Son of righteousness. The Son of righteousness. His light is reflected upon the world from the millions of believers whom he has enlightened with blessed, you know, by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? There are millions of Christians. It's not just us in this world. Yes, there are billion, you know, they reckon it's about, is it 2 billion Christians? And there's 7 billion people. So that's not bad. But actually, if we think about this, if every one of those 2 billion people did their thing, in 3 years, we would have, the world would know Christ effectively. The world needs light. Christ is the power supply, and therefore we ask, you know, I'm going to ask each of you now, children, if you were at home, would you put your fingers in a socket? A plug socket. Would you put your fingers in it? Teenagers are saying, yeah. But children, no, you wouldn't, would you? No, you wouldn't do that. Because if you put your fingers in a socket, teenagers, listen. If you put your fingers in a socket and you make a connection, you'll be pretty impressive because you're going to fly. You will go from one side of the room to the other very quickly. And then, I don't know what would happen next. Probably, it's bad, yes. But, you know, that's connecting with that. But actually, that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to connect with the power source, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And if we connect to that power source, we will reflect God. We will reflect God. You see, our duty is to let the light of God shine through us. Not hide it under a bushel. As I was sitting in my chair, and I was thinking to myself, I could have demonstrated that really nicely this morning, but I'm going to hold it and use it at another point. So we'll come back to this later in the year. But we're not meant to hide our light. There are two ways of spreading light. Okay? To be the candle, to be the light, source light, or to be a mirror that reflects it. And I want to be a mirror that reflects it, because I believe Jesus is that original light, and I want to reflect him as much as I can. I want to shine myself up, because if you've got a mirror, as I've used before here, isn't it? If it's dirty, it doesn't reflect very well. So I really want to polish myself up. And I want to encourage each of you to polish yourselves up, which means you need to read your Bible. You need to pray. Now, we did the Bible last year. We looked at the Bible. And, you know, I really hope that you engaged with that. But we're called to pray. We're called to love one another. We're called to be obedient. Now, there are certain families in this church who felt it wise to get a dog. I don't know how you're doing. All right? The guinea pigs aren't doing so well. But if you have a dog, you have to try and teach it obedience. I've got a friend who has two dogs, and they are immensely obedient. It's amazing to see how these dogs behave and how he can walk into town and the dogs will walk beside him without a lead or anything like that, and they are that obedient. If he says sit, they sit. If they say stay, they stay. Wouldn't it be great, parents, if that happened with children? But, you know, this idea of obedience, I'm reflecting, are we like that with God? Are we like that with God? Because that would be God's desire. God's desire is that we are obedient. If God says, come to me, he wants us to come to him. If he says, go to them, we need to go to them. If he says, love that person, we need to love that person. Obedience. That's what we need to be thinking about when it comes to being this light, this shining out. We therefore need to be obedient. You know, verses 6 to 11, before it, he took the form of a servant unto death, didn't he? Christ took the form of a servant. And he died. We must begin to take our salvation seriously. Philippians 2:12. That's quite a tough thing to say, isn't it? Do we take our salvation seriously? Do we take what it means to know Jesus? The fact that we believe that Jesus gave himself for us. He paid the price. Do we take it seriously? Do you take it seriously? It cost him everything. Because he says, Philippians 2:12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This signifies working thoroughly at the thing, being diligent. Are we being diligent in our faith? Not giving up. Because being a Christian, I know in the world they say, oh, you're taking the easy option. And the young people know this, rubbish. Being a Christian is not easy. Children, being a Christian isn't easy. Okay, I'm telling you that now. But, though it's not easy, it is brilliant! It really is. I've been a Christian since I was about 13 years old. And I tell you, I've not always done what I should have done. And I've not always found it really easy. But those times when I've been obedient to God and done what he said, and in effect, been a bit of a shining light, it's been brilliant. And I wish I'd lived it more. I wish I'd lived it more. Don't you? Because I can guarantee you're the same. I bet there'll be times in your life when you think, I'm really going for God. And times when you, oh, actually, I've let him down. We need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. There was a Hindu trader in India who once asked a missionary, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" With surprise, the man of God answered, "I don't put anything on it." His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, "Yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat, and even in the city of Bombay." Suddenly the Christian understood, and his face glowed even more. As he said, "Now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts. Joy shows on your face. It shows that you love the Master that you serve. Obedience must be willing and cheerful. The world sees that. Too many of us look like being a Christian is a grey cloud that follows us around. Life is too hard. Nobody loves me. They are never happy about present situations. They have an Eeyore complex. Do you know what? We need to be more like Tigger, which in some people is a bit irritating. I know. But that's what we need to be. We need to be joyous. You know, would you say to yourself, "Do you know what? I've really got the joy of the Lord in me today, and I'm going to shine it out." If you're honest, how often do you feel like that? Once in a 10-year period, maybe? I don't know. But do you know what I mean? We need to be reflecting the joy of the Lord. So if we want this light to shine, we've got to be obedient to him. We've then got to live our lives with joy. Because actually, there are people living out there who are in despair. The joy of the Lord. The world is looking at the church. Do you know that? If we're complaining and arguing, we're telling them that we do not have the answer. Therefore, we need to demonstrate an ability to forgive. This is not stated in the text, but it is viewed by the world, isn't it? They will be looking on us. How do they behave in that situation? How do they look on like that? What comes out of their mouth? This is a direct reflection of the Father. When you forgive, you are doing the thing that looks most like Jesus. And actually, forgiving is hard, isn't it? And in the years we've been here, Sharon's spoken on that, on forgiveness. We are forgiven. The Bible teaches that we are to forgive as we are forgiven. Furthermore, we must forgive in order that we ourselves are forgiven. Matthew 6, 12 to 14. "Forgive us our debts, as we also are forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." People are watching you. Your family, your work colleagues, this church. Anybody here been a model? Oh, Emma has. When you're on the catwalk, you're prancing around, aren't you? "Oh, look at me." And you're sort of swaying a bit and, "Do you like my clothes? Looks lovely." You know, you're doing all of that on the catwalk, aren't you? I imagine. I've never done that myself. In fact, we have had some people do on the catwalk here because we had a thing out the back, didn't we, Jill? Didn't we, Catherine? And when you're on the catwalk, you've got to big it up, haven't you? I'm not going to big it up. But you have to, as you walk across, as you walk down the catwalk, as a model, you are meant to be selling what you're wearing. So if you're going to be like, I'm just going to walk like this, that's not going to sell it. You've really got to live yourself for it. And you know what? That's what it is to be a Christian. You've got to live it. If you're just going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Is that going to be attractive? The people looking at you. Look at that picture. How many people are looking at that model? Lots. Lots. There are lots of people looking at you. Whether you are 10, 20, 100, you're being looked at. Come on. Among those people, you shine like light in a dark world. We've got to shine. This could be a great year for each one of you. For me, you know, I'm going to strut my stuff this year for Jesus. That's a bumper car sticker, isn't it? You know, but I'm, you know, if you, you know, come on, let's strut our stuff for Jesus this year. Maybe that should have been our banner. But I'm serious, you know. So how many of you really strut your stuff for Jesus? If you were honest, and you know, if you were honest with God, could you say last year, oh, I strutted my stuff? No, we didn't, did we? Because I know I didn't. And I can always improve, and that's my message this morning, is we need to be joyous people. We need to be people that are shining our environment. Do you know what? It only takes a spark to get a fire going, doesn't it? It only takes a moment for you to shine for Jesus, to transform someone's life. This, over this period, aren't we? We sort of bridged this year with this 153, praying for people. I don't know if you've been praying for somebody. I hope you have. And as you've been praying, now maybe you need to start shining a bit more light into them. Living, encouraging them. I don't know if they came to the Christmas services. We've got this Life Explored course that we're looking to run in February. Aim for that. Say, Lord, I'm going to pray for this person and I'm going to shine for you by asking them to come on this course. Whatever age we might be, wherever our daily life takes us, we need to consider turning up the brightness. I know I desire to. Because if I do, if we do, who knows what might happen? That little ray of light from us might transform one person, two people, maybe 10, or even more. We know there's that story, isn't there, about the guy who spoke to Billy Graham and brought Billy Graham to Christ, and then what did Billy Graham do? What a privilege would it be if I just brought one person to Christ and then that one person did something amazing and brought millions to Christ? That could happen because God's a God of plans. God's amazing. If you're saying, but how do I do this? Can I encourage you to come and attend our teaching sessions in this year? We're going to be running some teaching sessions on discipleship later in the year. And we would encourage you to come. Because discipleship is not just about developing yourself. It's also been being understood and realizing that as a disciple, I've got to make disciples. As I said at the beginning, you know, as a church, this verse is sort of like hopefully going to equip and encourage us for 2020. Because at one point this was the verse for the year and I thought this is for this year. But I met with my spiritual advisor who through a conversation it was revealed that actually this verse is to enable us to be equipped and discipled and then ready for 2020. Now, I'm hoping we're going to shine before 2020. But 2020 could be an amazing year. It's only 360 days to go or whatever it is. Not long. We'll be there soon. Hold on. So together, let us act this out in 2019. You know, as a church, we're going to be doing some activities. We're looking to book the Elsey Park Village Hall. And Easter Saturday, we're going to be aiming to put on an event where we can invite people to. Rather than going out, giving Easter eggs out this year and knocking on doors, we're going to invite people to come and receive an Easter egg. And there'll be some crafts. There'll be a band there, hopefully, and things like that. So I'm hoping that we're going to do some church things that we can all buy into. Because I know, actually, when we do a church event, I know there are some people that buy into those events. But actually, I want to see us all getting involved in those events because it's not the responsibility of the few. That verse is for all of us. Not, well, it's 10 people that are involved in evangelism, that's their job. No, we're all called to do it. We're all called to shine like stars. So let's get off our seats, take off our shrouds, and shine brightly for Jesus. Because let's not desire to be dim. Let's be bright for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for this verse and its context and its setting. And I thank you that it's encouraging us to shine brightly for Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one that we seek to love and adore. And we need to be obedient to. So Lord, help us, whatever age we are, to shine a little brighter for you, because our world needs it. Amen.